You're listening to the Slow Ride Podcast. Bikes, advice, and rumors straight from the source. TheSlowRidePodcast.com and on Twitter at TheSlowRidePod. Enjoy the ride.
Hello and welcome to the 75th episode of the Slow Ride Podcast. This is Tim in Orlando.
It is Matt in the city beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And this is Spencer in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Back again, boys, but I gotta admit, I'm calling it. Thanks for covering last week. I was in the bunker. I knew it was coming. I'm still in the bunker. I can't come out. The war is raging, and we're losing. We're losing the battle, guys.
It's
the apocalypse is here.
And the biggest barrage.
We're taking casualties. We're taking massive casualties.
By recording this podcast on Sunday evening last week, on Sunday, March 3rd, we recorded it.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, March 4th, the time trial helmet of the ages.
They dropped the bomb on us.
Yeah. They dropped a bomb purposefully after, like, less than 5 hours after the Slow Ride podcast recorded.
It's true.
So we're old news. That would have been an easy 35 minutes of content between me and little guy on this time trial helmet. And then just sneaking in there was that the UCI banned the head sock. Specialized head. So
retroactively,
lots of developments in the world of time trial helmets. First off, Specialized loses a massive commercial opportunity by retrofitting all of the multi-tube / balaclavas that they made during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer able to be used with the time trial helmet. And then Giro,
this conspiracy
basically
corner?
Giro basically took the rules of the UCI, which is like 150 millimeters can be the length of fore to aft of the time trial helmet, and basically just put 140 millimeters in front of the rider's head.
Yeah, they know how to read the rule book. I mean, I gotta say, it's dumb, but like, a round of applause, man, because the UCI is trying to crack down, and they got some good lawyers, is what I'm saying.
So do you think this helmet is actually aero, or do you think somebody lost a bet in the design department?
Ooh.
So it's probably aero for somebody, you know?
It's aero for the people that are in that praying mantis position. I mean, can you imagine Floyd Landis with this helmet?
I cannot.
The Tour de France.
Yeah. The man seems to have a shred of dignity.
I bet Floyd is so sad that he's not here.
Floyd has a shred of dignity. Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah, unbelievably, yes. I'm still in the bunker. I'm bunkered down. I'm trying to weather this storm. I'm in here with style and decency, and we're all cowering in our boots as these aero helmets are running free, causing chaos throughout the UCI cycling scene.
Let me throw something out there for you. So the UCI requires all equipment used, unless it's a prototype, and you get a one-year waiver,
right?
If it's a prototype, it has to be for sale for the public good.
Yeah. So you got one.
Well,
uh-oh.
How much money would you have to be paid to show up to the local, like, Tuesday night world championship ride with that helmet? Like, how much would you have to, like, would someone have to pay you to be like, you know,
what was that movie, Indecent Proposal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was $1 million to hang out for the night with Demi Moore.
Here's why I would do it for $20. It's easy.
$20.
Here's why I do it.
$20.
Here's why I do it, because
I will pay you $20 to wear that helmet.
All right. Find me a local TC, because I'm going to show up on just my road bike, but with that helmet, because I don't have any other aero stuff, because you lost my aero bars 20 years ago. So I'm just going to show up on my road bike. And just be with the most aero helmet.
It's a group ride. It's a group ride. Like, you have to go to the group ride with this thing. It's not a time trial.
But you can't wear that on a group ride. That's, I mean, come on. You can't break the UCI rules here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much money would it cost? I would do it for like $150. I would show up to
good
like,
Lord.
Because the local group rides here with like 150 people.
I was going to be like four or five of them on there already. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, no, but yeah. Nothing special.
Yeah, you show up, you think you're hilarious, and you look around and, oh no.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah. It's, anyways, I can't believe that helmet dropped. And then the head sock thing happened. It was wonderful. What a time to be alive.
I would not do that for less than five figures. There's absolutely no way. And I would still have to
so
think about
selfies.
It.
So that helmet is still legal. I mean, so like you said, the sock part of the head sock helmets got taken, so, deemed illegal currently. The Giro helmet is still there, like looking at it.
Yes.
I was trying to wonder what is the next big stage race we got.
I mean, you have to figure.
Will they roll it out again?
So two thoughts on this little guy. One is I was surprised that they didn't roll this out until the Tour de France. But Paris-Nice got the most coverage it's ever gotten in years.
It was at Torino.
Time trial.
The helmet was at Torino. Don't throw this on Paris-Nice. But Paris-Nice is a respectable, a high-quality, entertaining race. Hmm. Torino is just like a parade lap where they pull out
and
funny
Vingard
helmets
won.
To try to get. Yeah, Vingard cleaned up at Torino.
I bet you this thing lasts into the Tour de France.
Well,
because if you think about it, like why would they? They
so
follow
many.
The rules. They follow the rules.
What boggles my mind is that it wasn't just like one company that did a ridiculous. There's like six. There's so many. Everywhere I turn, there's a stupider looking helmet. It was mind boggling.
Sillier look. I know. I mean, there were some other silly ones. Well, I was going to say Cataluna is in a week and a half or whatever, 2 weeks. And Vingard's not on the start line for Lisa. But Utenbrooks is and stuff. So, I mean, they've got a GC and Cuss is there. So they'll be bringing the funny helmets to that.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see it again soon. That's good.
I just can't imagine the UCI bans this thing before next year. Like, I think that because I'm sure they'll find a way to try to do it. Yeah, I think they'll let them run through it with the season because otherwise, why do you have these rules? No. But why do you have these rules? Like, they met the rules.
That's true. They met the rules.
Why does the UCI have these rules? You could write a book on that.
Well,
but the
I think they don't want to mess with companies. I feel like they want to mess with riders and they don't care. But like ticking off these companies is a little bit outside of their wheelhouse, so to speak.
To me, it just seems that like A, the companies invest a lot of money, and B, they followed the rule book.
So
just like in Formula One, Spencer.
So the double decker bars are illegal.
I believe the double decker bars are illegal. Yeah,
I believe they're illegal. But they're not because there's a rule against that. Like they follow to the T, the time trial. Like it doesn't leave the width and the length.
I think they could try to do it, but they're opening the UCI is opening themselves up to litigation, right?
They do not care.
Well, maybe they don't care.
Probably not.
I mean, I think
so.
Tim, the reason I think I want to say Jumbo
solid
brought this
8
out.
Minutes on this.
They brought this out because. You want to make sure the UCI is not going to deem it illegal on the start line at the Tour. Because if you're going to go to the wind tunnel and spend 4 days in the wind tunnel with all your riders, like you want to know now whether or not you need to stick Vingard in the tunnel with that weird helmet or put the normal helmet on its head. You know what I mean? Like he's got to train with that thing. You got to get used to the weight of that.
Speaking of Vingard, he won the Trident at Torino Adriatico. Pretty huge.
No, clearly, like his most important win of his career so far.
It's the most important win so far this season.
Most prestigious.
Season, we can say that. Yeah, yeah. Did you guys watch any Torino? I didn't watch any Torino. I was watching the other race.
No, I've been in the bunker.
You've been in the bunker.
So anything else to talk about with Torino?
What I want to say about Torino, Vingard won. Ayuso got second. So again, a UAE rider right there, but they can't seal the deal when Lisa's in town. But in fourth place, I'm going to skip right over third place so Spencer doesn't talk about it. Fourth place, Isaac Del Toro already tearing it up again. The young Mexican phenom. This guy might be the real deal. I'm scared for the Tour is what I'm saying. So
well, he did win the Tour del Avenir, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
The rookie
Tour
de France. Yeah.
This is a huge legit result right behind Hindley and Ayuso and Vingard. So you know.
Henley got third?
Henley got third. That's the end of
service. Oh, man. Have I told you guys how high I am on Henley as being a great GC?
Now, Spencer, you should be really happy because Henley now is looking like perhaps Bora, soon to be Red Bull colors, Tour de France actual option, because Roglic was pretty far off the pace, blowing up at Paris-Nice.
Oh, he'll be fine.
Tim's confident. Tim's confident.
So quick shout out to Magnus Sheffield of the U.S. for Ineos Grenadiers for 16th place at Torino Adriatico. Little guy, let's talk about Paris-Nice. Excuse me.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Paris-Nice. You watched it. America.
Yes. America.
Beautiful. Doing it. First and third overall.
And we had three riders in the race. Will Barda came so close. Messed it up in the end. Only got 15th. He was so close to 16th. If we would have done first, third, and 16th, I mean, that would have been it. I would have shut the season down right there. But
yeah,
that would have been America's season. Shut her down. So, bring all the riders home. Do a parade. But we still got to stay over there, I think.
Do a parade.
Jorgensen, now, huge.
But Jorgensen wins, but poor Brandon McNulty, who was in the yellow jersey.
Was in the yellow jersey.
The last day.
Yes.
And gets dropped hard.
Yeah.
By Remco and Mateo Jorgensen.
Yes. But you know what? Like, I think every year, I didn't go into it last week, going into my usual 15 minutes of how the last day of Paris-Nice is the best day of racing in the year. But as usual,
yeah.
I mean, the last 3 days were really good, but the last day... Awesome. Always you get a good lead change. You get some crazy attacks. Remco really tore it up. It was great. Yeah, you got Roglic exploding. I mean, if you haven't watched it, why are you listening to this podcast? Go watch the last day of Paris-Nice. It's great.
Do you think Jorgensen's agent has already contacted Pizza Hut about a sponsorship deal, or you think he's going to try and wait for them to call him? Because he just defeated... the pizza boy himself, Remco.
Yeah. I bet his agent is getting a call from Jorgensen, who's like, hey, I knew I was good, and I knew it was nice that you got me a 3-year deal with Jumbo Lisa, but man, is there any way to renegotiate for a little bit more money? Because so far this year, I don't know what they're paying him, but I bet it's a deal for what they've gotten
so far. It's a steal.
Like,
it's a steal.
And that he, I don't know. He's been huge. I mean, holy cow. He was good at that team that Tim likes, but man, now he's really good.
Well, the team that I formerly used to like had a good 9th place finish from Felix Gall.
I thought you were back on the AG2R decathlon train. No?
No, they lost the brown shorts. Tim's
they lost
out.
The brown shorts. Yeah. I wore the brown shorts on Saturday. I did a 50-mile ride. I looked pro AF. It was great, and now they're back in... normal men's master team kit, so I don't really care that much, but I do like Felix Gall. Below guy, you made it sound like Roglic is way off the pace. He still got 10th overall at Paris-Nice, so
yeah, but he was off the pace today. He lost
slow down
four,
the barrier.
No. He lost 4 minutes today. Like, he blew up. He was right there in for the pick on purpose. As you usually do.
Reports of Primoz's demise were grossly exaggerated.
I would say that. That's what I'm saying. Regular Primoz Roglic losing 4 minutes on the last day of Paris-Nice. That's, well, not a bad result in the end.
First training days of the year, probably.
So you guys are sugarcoating this for him, man.
During the Aero helmet extravagance that happened on Monday and Tuesday, did you guys see the side-by-side comparison of Primoz Roglic and his famous laser TT helmet from a few years ago that was like too small?
Yes.
Do you remember when he wore like the extra small? And now he's on a team that doesn't have access to the extra, extra, extra large Conehead helmet.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways, just want to throw that one out there.
Well, maybe Specialized, now that the sock is gone, maybe they'll whip him up something new, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, boys, I was in the bunker, as you know, for all the past like 10 days or whatever, and I missed a lot of this, but I was able to pick up a faint radio signal, and I did listen to the episode last week. I appreciate you guys holding it down while I was in hiding. from the Arrow apocalypse. But I do have a full notebook full of notes here to bring up.
Full notebook, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. First off, thanks to the anonymous emailer for such a sweet message. I really did appreciate that. That was very nice, very touching. I always appreciate a fan. So don't check the return address on that one. But obviously a huge, very smart and probably handsome fan of the show that wrote in saying so many complimentary things. But I had a couple other comments. You guys spoke about the donkey from KBK and where's the donkey George? And you were positing what Wout had named his kids after. Did he name his kid after George Hincappy? And then Jerome, the second kid, who was that named after? Obviously, I can't believe you guys missed this. The best character in the film American Flyers that we review every 4th of July, it is the Cannibals' right-hand man, Jerome.
That's a good point. Forgot about that. Yeah.
I believe I nominated him for top character in this last iteration of the Sunday Stroll episode.
That's a solid bit of notes. What else is on your notebook?
Well, you guys brought up the belt, and I think it is time for the belt to change hands. But you didn't go through with it, which is good. Because you guys were very, very wrong in your nomination. So I think if you want to have that conversation, we can do that. I think you nominated Pogue for the Strati.
81 kilometers out. Pretty epic.
Mm-hmm. Like, cool solo ride by yourself.
Yeah. We're all champions.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Also expected. You know, which is my biggest complaint about what every other cycling media would do is say, well, give it to the guy who won. And I say, no. I say, give it to the biggest surprise. Give it to the biggest standout. Give it to the ride of the day, which is almost never
81 kilometers by yourself. Almost never. But sometimes it is.
Now, what's funny is you guys were very excited about a certain performance. And you didn't even mention the belt for times.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think I know where you're going here, but 80 kilometers, Spencer. It's a lot of kilometers. Yeah,
that's like 50 miles.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 50 miles. Like Tim was asking me, when was the last time? He was asking me, when was the last time I'd ridden that many miles?
Well, you're not Pogue. Like, everybody knows Pogue could do that. Like, if you were like, oh, can Pogue ride away from me for 50 miles? You'd be like, yeah, obviously he can. And that's my point is, well, the whole peloton is like, well, obviously he can ride away from us.
Well, yes, but I don't want to I don't want to undersell the Pogue era.
It's incredible.
Think about how we got it. So it's expected. I don't want to do, you know, it's like when Vanderpool wins 15 cyclocross races in a row and everyone's like, yawn. And you're like, that's insane. This could never happen again.
I'm not going to give him the belt for it, though. You know, like the slow ride belt is the people's champion, not the actual champion.
I think riding 80 kilometers by yourself against the world's best.
There's a reason this show celebrates 16th place, guys. Well, let's not forget where we came from.
Because all the other places were copyrighted.
That's why they're 16th place.
yes.
I'm saying Tom's for the belt. Tom's for the belt. He also listens to the show.
I mean, yeah.
Tom's for the belt. Oh,
you're personally insulting Tom's right now.
I'm not personally insulting Tom's. It was
now it's a gratuitous belt for Tom's is going to be like, great, guys. Thanks for the belt. Got second at Strada Bianchi, which
was that expected? I expected Pogue to win or at least be on the podium at absolute worst. I did not expect Toms to be in the position that he was. I thought that ride was absolutely stunning and incredible.
Yeah.
And I got up and cheered when I saw it.
So you're not arguing with anything on my end other
than... No. Other than your nomination, yeah.
I think Tom's is a champion, and Tom wants to be the winner, and he doesn't want a gratuitous belt that doesn't exist.
Interesting.
And also a belt that at one time we gave to Matthew Vanderpool for about 30 seconds before giving it to the entire team, AG2R team.
All right. I tell you what. I'll make you a consolation. If you want to give it to Pogue, we can do so, but we got to turn around and give it to Tom's right after. And whatever the gap was between them from first to second, that's how long Pogue gets to hold the belt for.
Oh, okay. Oh. I like that.
What was that? Like a minute and a half?
I'm going to have to pull it up.
I want to say it's 2:40.
So I nominate Pogacar for his amazing performance. Mm-hmm. 80 kilometers out, 50 miles out at Strada Bianchi to take the belt in episode 475.
Yeah.
All right, so Pogacar now has the belt, as you guys are in agreement. And
but there's a caveat on my other. You need to follow through on this vote, or otherwise I'm abstaining.
Yeah,
does he have the belt for?
I thought Spencer was looking it up. I think it's 2 minutes and 44 seconds.
I haven't found it yet, but yeah.
Is that the gap?
Okay, so
it'll be the official amount of time. We'll start the clock now.
Okay, so let's keep going. Let's keep this show on the road here. So, Spencer, you did provide a sweet link. That was one of the funniest things I've seen, was that the anti-doping authorities showed up to an amateur race in Spain, and immediately 130 of the participants dropped out of the race.
It's pretty incredible.
It's like a Miami Masters race. Like, everyone's I'm out.
Gotta go. Yeah, I don't know anything about this race. I don't know where it is in Spain. I don't know anything about it, but I saw the headline that that the UCI, the anti-doping people, showed up, and 130 riders abandoned out of 180 person field. Like three quarters.
The ones that were left were the Frenchmen.
Pretty incredible stuff. So if you've ever raced your bike in Spain, maybe don't feel so bad about your results.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Pogacar still has about 50 seconds here.
Yeah, we're looking for 2:44. Yeah, 2:44.
Okay, so it still has about a minute. So how are the kids?
My kid's good.
Sumi's talking to you a little bit. Yeah.
Timmy, had matching bikes for the kids. Let's talk about that.
Dude, yeah. I got a new bikes. I got new bikes for the boys.
Yeah.
Myself, I got a BMX cruiser because Big Matt in Minnesota never came through.
Tim can only talk about it for 40 seconds.
So I have a Haro 24-inch BMX cruiser, and then I got a small one. So good job for little Heimar. He's going to have his first BMX bike, and he's crushing it. It's fantastic.
Perfect. All right, guys, I need to make a nomination for the belt. I'd like to nominate Tom Skunes Slow Ride Podcast Championship belt based on his incredible second place at Strada Bianchi.
Right now, it's currently with Pogacar. It's currently been on Pogacar for 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So,
yeah.
Ooh, Tom Skunes.
I'll do it.
Yeah, this is the second time that Tom Skunes has had the belt. He did take it off of Alejandro Valverde and Pogacar on episode 381. So if we go back to 381, that was Pogacar took it, and then Valverde took it, and then Skunes took it. So Skunes is back in the driver's seat with the amazing performance at Strada Bianchi.
All right. And now do we need to address the women's belt as well? I'm not sure who. I think Allie Jackson has it.
So with Allie Jackson from 434, which is when she won Paris-Roubaix, mm-hmm. and then dominated the post-race dance scene.
Yeah.
The nightclubs of Roubaix were never the same.
I don't hate the Capecchi nomination that you guys floated very briefly last episode? Oh,
the dominant performance.
Yeah, I would also say that Faulkner has been making a case for it the last few races. I don't know that I'm sold on that idea either. So if you guys have suggestions, I'm all ears.
I mean, Faulkner's been riding great. I wouldn't quite say it's belt yet, you know. Did either of them race at Ronde van Drenthe or whatever? We can go whichever one of them finished higher and then give the belt like a tiebreaker, but I don't think Faulkner or her race. But yeah. Balsamo got second, so maybe Balsamo should get it because she just pulled off another second place.
That Capecchi has still never won it, to me, is, again, like the
reason
why.
Has she not?
No.
Okay. So here's the thing. All that stuff I said earlier to get Tom's in the belt, I believe it wholeheartedly. But also, I don't want to look stupid and say we've never given it to Lotto Capecchi, who is an absolute champion. So sometimes you need to just suck it up and be like, look, she's kind of the best.
What about this? We can give it to Lauren Weaves because she just won a race, and I just was looking up her stats. No, wait, listen to this. I was going to say this about Vingegaard too. Weaves has done 8 races this year, and she's won 4 of them. She's batting 500, and I'm pretty sure I looked earlier, and Vingegaard's also batting 500, and it's so 8 races.
I will go back to the belt being like who's winning and or who's like winning the moment, like who's like captured our own zeitgeist. Uh-huh. And to me, it's still like what Lotta Capecchi consistently does.
Yeah,
guys,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
I get you, but like for what stuck out to me, I think championship belt is on Capecchi. So the nomination is out there.
All right, I mean I can't say no to it if it's out there, because she's pretty amazing.
I'll second it.
She's right, only 2 for 6 for the year, though, you guys. I mean, that's pathetic. So, 2 for 6 on wins? Come on.
So
2 podiums as well.
What a time to be alive. So let's get with our correspondent in Europe. Of course, I'm talking about Slow Ride Podcast Championship belt holder Tom Schoons for this week's Premlab.
Hi, I'm Nathan Shiglek, and you're listening to the Slow Ride Podcast.
All right, guys, here we are in the Premlab. Let's give a major shout-out to all listeners and supporters of the Wide Angle Podium Network. Head over to wideanglepodium.com to find out about the bevy of shows. And when you go over to wideanglepodium.com, you can take a look at the Grodio continues to put out fantastic content.
Ah, such good content.
As gravel season is around the corner, and major shout outs to our friends over there, including Bill and Amanda Nauman. Their most recent episode was focusing with a new title sponsor, Bicycle, which was pretty cool. And as the season 2 of the Lifetime Grand Prix heats up, you should check it out as Amanda and Bill get into the entire Lifetime Gravel Grand Prix season. I can't wait to follow along. So yeah, check it out.
Incredible stuff. They're doing such good work over there. It's super impressive. Of course, also Bill doing other work over at Cyclocross Radio and Rob over at Criterium Nation and all the other shows on the network, which you can find out about at wideanglepodium.com. You can donate and support any of the shows you do enjoy and listen to, including ours, over there, wideanglepodium.com/donate. Become a recurring member. It really does help us to continue to do what we do every week.
Guys, I got a sort of our podcast adjacent shout out to give, which is that if you like this podcast, you obviously already own an Onza t-shirt. With Onza on it. And if you like the Onza t-shirt, you definitely like my friend Sam, who did the art for that shirt. And he has a new podcast.
The episode 300 shirt.
Yeah, episode 300 shirt. Yeah. He has a new podcast coming out called Birth of a Salesman. It's like a narrative podcast. If you like your weird, if you like the weird thing we did, this is going to be even weirder. He's also got a bunch of weird merch. Boy. Birth of a Salesman. It's going to drop in like a couple weeks. I'm pretty excited about it.
Looking forward to it. When are we bringing back the radio play, little guy?
I don't know. Maybe I'll work on it this week. I get some time.
I don't know. You can't just tease that kind of stuff.
Well,
on here, the slow ride.
I don't have anything right now, but if you like absurdist radio plays, amazing artwork, go check out Birth of a Salesman in a couple weeks when it drops, and go check out his fun merch. So it's out there. Just Google it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, let's get back to the show.
My name is Matthew Vanderpool, and I don't listen to the Slow Ride podcast.
All right, guys, here we are. We're back at the Slow Ride podcast. We'd like to thank all of the listeners and supporters once again, but make sure you email us at theslowridepodcast@gmail.com, where we answer and take your emails to provide advice to people all over the world.
Even my emails?
Yes, we could possibly.
Interesting.
So the first one, you may remember, little guy, we did get an email last week from Ben in Omaha that was talking to us about will Wout give the donkey that Spencer was talking about earlier to his son George.
Yes.
I then said, talking a little bit about being in Omaha, what is there to do? And Ben definitely comes back and says, actually, the Pain Cave and the Milk Crate with Saddle Creek Records are on two different floors. So I was assuming the Pain Cave was full of Bright Eyes albums, Rilo Kiley, other great Saddle Creek albums.
Yep.
I was wrong. But Ben did follow up with a quick update. But of course, when we talk about Omaha, we actually got to talk a little bit about the little tiny town that's across the way. Of course, I'm talking about Council Bluffs, the home of one of our favorite people. Of course, I'm talking about Todd from Council Bluffs, Iowa's Leading Edge. Hey, Slow Riders, in regards to your conversation on Omaha, I went to University of Nebraska, Omaha, so I appreciate the shout out. Go Mavs. That new science museum is the Luminarium.
Yeah,
it's cool. Rad and bike accessible, and it's near Bob, the pedestrian bridge, another Omaha landmark. We are famous for our zoo. And finally, on the trail, one of the nation's great rail trails and home to one of the largest weekly social rides, the Thursday night taco ride from Council Bluff to Mineola. Is Matt's hatred of punk why my Pain Cave photo has never been posted? In my defense, it was all MXPX memorabilia in the background. Are they even punk? Who's to say? Todd.
No. I thought I posted yours, Todd. No?
I'm catching a theme here.
I'm making a note.
Uh-huh.
I'm making a note, and I'm going to forget, but I'm making a note to post this. I'm actually going to look back to my notes from last week because I probably wrote down some things.
Tim, just a quick scan of the inbox. How many emails are in reference to little guy not posting things they said he was going to post on the Instagram? It's got to be about 2/3, maybe even 3/4. Yeah.
I see one from 472 where I made a note as well. So I'm doing it. You guys can hear rustling
papers. I did have to look this Bob Bridge up. Are you familiar with the Bob Bridge that connects Council Bluffs, Iowa Omaha?
I've driven through Nebraska, and all I remember amongst all the cornfields was one bridge that did go over the interstate. I'm going to assume that that's the one. It's got a big corn, corn on it or something.
This thing is massive. It's a 3,000-foot suspension bridge only for bikes and pedestrians over the Missouri River.
I saw it when I went to Seta Luminorium or whatever the heck last year. So, yeah, I see.
It's named in honor of Nebraska Senator Bob Kerry. who secured the $18 million in federal funding. I'm sure that that was just a great pork-barreled project for Bob Carey in Nebraska. I'm sure he really loved every moment of that. This thing is pretty amazing. It is by far one of the coolest bridges that's bike only. So I get it. So Todd, thanks for bringing that to my attention. And yeah, I would do hot laps on that thing all the time on my new BMX bike for sure.
I'm a little surprised you didn't get the slow ride model, 24-inch cruiser, Tim. I'm a little surprised.
It didn't have the geometry that I wanted. You know, if I'm gonna go race, I did do a bunny hop today though,
for the old man back.
Fully clipped in.
Yeah.
It's great. The little one, little Hymar, is so stoked to have this bike because it's got a little bit narrower tires, so it's way faster than his mountain bike.
Nice.
So like, yeah, it's pretty. I forgot how much fun BMX bikes are. Like, they really are fun. And when I went to the bike shop to pick it up, all the mechanics were like, this is awesome. Like, they were so happy to build it up. So it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't they be? It's not, you know, electronic shifting. It's not bleeding disc brakes. It's not dealing with suspension forks and stuff. Like, it's just a pure bicycle. How it was meant to be. Right, little guy?
So.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Any other big things happening in the world for you guys? Because we are through the email bag.
What? We not get sent any emails this week?
Wow.
We didn't get a ton of emails. And I think most of the people were just... We got a lot of people reaching out to us about the TT helmet, but we already did a tight 10 minutes on that.
Okay. Little guy, I was looking through the results here after we were speaking about the belt. You know, I've been in the bunker. I've been hiding from Big Arrow, trying to avoid detection. And I did notice Marlon Reusser, your favorite cyclist, did win the Setmana Ciclista Valencia race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm willing to take that belt right away from Lada Capecchi if you are.
I don't know what else Marlon's done this. I don't want to take it away from Capecchi. Capecchi's great. And it's just, we're just shuffling the belt around SD Works at this point. I mean,
I feel
like we almost got to give it to another team. So, I mean, I just think she's got some crazy hair. I love it.
That's she changed the profile photo. Yeah. It's no longer the crazy hair.
Yeah,
it's a little more normal. So maybe I wasn't going to bring that up unless you noticed, because I knew that might take points away.
Yeah. No, she's got pretty normal hair now in her profile photo.
I mean, I'm sure it's still crazy. Just in the photo, it looks normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though she's a T-tier, it's just whatever year it was, it looked like a fan snuck up on her during her photo. It just looked, it just shot her hair out to one direction. Made me a huge fan. Get
it's
it?
A little guy, what do fan. We have coming up?
Well, we got, what do you mean, like bike races? We got all kinds of bike races. I mean, we're in, as you said last week, that moment where we sit here and we bated breath. We think about Milan Sanremo. We think about the fact that
Milan Sanremo's next week. So this is the preview from Milan Sanremo. So in honor of our good friend Luke over at Roller Derby, I mean, the question is that, you know, while we can always argue and have fun on who's going to go over the Poggio at the top, I think the classic one here is, will Milan Sanremo finish in a bunch sprint, or will there be, you know, a breakaway, which is determined by about a 5-second gap from the winner to the chase. So what are you guys thinking? Like, just Pogacar's to lose, Matt Pedersen's to lose,
or Vanderpool's to lose?
Who do you think?
Yeah, it's Vanderpool's to lose.
Well, you know,
over Mads Pedersen.
Yeah, over anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Pedersen was good. Even like Trek's got options because they got Pedersen and they got Milan, who was winning sprints at Torino. So they come with a lot of sprint options. I guess we don't know what Vanderpool's going to bring, though. If he's done nothing but ride base miles since cyclocross season, he's bringing some seriously good form. If he hasn't done a single effort, but what do you guys think? Is this the Pogue time? I don't believe it. I heard a lot of people after the Strada thing kind of saying, maybe he doesn't even have the top end. He just had one good effort and everybody kind of was too scared to follow. And then he just sort of TT'd at his own pace.
I mean,
whereas Milan Sanremo is like a lot of, it's obviously a lot of just like riding a really high tempo, but then it's going so hard on that last hill. You got to have the explosive power, you know?
So Pogacar is a solid pick. Sure. I'm going to, you know, if the betting options are open here in Florida on this race, I'd be putting a fiver of faith on Mads Pedersen.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, built for this race, it's Mads will be up there. World champion in 2019, kind of always been around. This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one this year. I feel it.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't put it by him. What do you think?
I feel like that's not a bad pick, Tim, if it goes to a bunch sprint at the end, which unfortunately it's not going to do, because Matthew Vanderpool will honor Michele Scarponi and will attack on...
If anyone's going to do it, it's the Pogacar.
Obviously, no. I have another pick who's going to do this, but you go on, Spencer.
It's Vanderpool. He's going to do it. He saw all the press that Pogue got for his big breakaway at Strada. And he was like, yeah. Now, the Cipressa is only 40K from the finish, so it's not quite 80K. Uh-huh. But it's in Italy, so everybody cares more. You know, than Strada, which is not in Italy, obviously. And it's meaningful because he's going to attack straight up the Cipressa, straight over the Cipressa, across and up the Poggio. He's going to cross the Poggio first and he's going to win solo by 20 seconds. This is going to be a little bit of a nail biter towards the end. They're going to reel him back.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to have a minute or two, but they're going to reel it back. And that's how I think it'll play out. He's got to show that he can also do a long breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
because that's just how
is it like Vanderpool I can do operates. That too plus
yeah,
one
I like know, that like,
yes and
I hope we just get into them having to one up each other all year back and
no,
forth.
No, they've been doing that they've I mean it's been Wout and Matthew up until now, but I think Matthew is like, okay, well I can also play this game with Pogue because he wants to come play in the classics and stuff, so let's go,
yeah,
let's dance. That's what he's saying.
I hope that happens. My other pick for the Scarponi bridge attack is Christian Scarroni from Astana. Because one, he's on Astana, and Astana literally has nobody else. Like Christian Scarroni is the only person from Astana I have seen this year, outside of Cavendish getting a wheel change that people claimed was slow.
Scarroni, by the way, that was not slow.
It was
that
not a bad wheel change.
And he didn't even complain about it.
I know. So you know it couldn't have been
Cavendish
that bad.
Normally would.
Right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's true. The way people were freaking out, and because if anyone hasn't seen this, there was Cavendish getting a wheel change, and you know, they take the wheel off with the impact driver. And then when the mechanic moves the wheel to the side, the cassette falls off. And whatever wheels they run, they're like, this isn't a weird thing. Like, the way it came off is like the whole body just came off. He slaps it back on. It's totally fine. And Cavendish didn't even freak out. If this was actually a problem, Cavendish would have thrown his bike on the ground, started crying.
Probably murdered the guy.
Smashed his $250,000 watch and all for like getting third at a stage of the UEA tour or whatever. It wasn't an issue. Anyway, my main point, Christian Scarroni is the only person on Astana who can do anything this year, and his name is so close to Scarponi. I bet he's like, if I do this, they'll rename it the Scarroni Bridge. And why not?
I don't know if we'll rename it, but,
no,
but I like that. Tell you what, he can go with Van der Poel. It'll be a two-man move.
Yeah.
Which Pogue will obviously say in the media afterwards, well, yeah, he had another guy with him. It's nothing like my Strada move. You know, but, you know, congrats, you know, golf clap, you know, like that's cute. But yeah, no, I think Van der Poel is going to throw down the gauntlet, whether or not Scaroni comes with him or not. I just had to look up
the little guy,
how to say let's dance in Dutch, because I feel like we're going to hear that over the live feed. Like he's going to shout it as he sends it up to Chipressa. And so it's Latin V Dunson. And so listen so for that. Listen for that.
Nailed it. Yeah. Little guy, who's your pick? Is it Scaroni to win? Because that's the dumbest pick.
It might be the dumbest pick.
No, yeah. I can't. I mean, I really can't look past Vanderpool to win this thing.
So to Vanderpool, Mads Pedersen, you've heard it here first. Can't wait. Milan San Remo is around the corner, and we're absolutely stoked for it.
That'll be good.
And I can't wait to talk about it with you guys after the podcast next week.
I was going to tell you guys this. I was thinking about it. I was going to say it off air, but since we were short on other things to say this week, I made a big emotional step just as an adult this weekend.
Steps?
I threw
back to the steps conversation.
I threw away six tires that I had in the basement. Whoa. That were in the corner. Whoa. I aged
to perfection.
They were aged to perfection. All these tires were tires that had taken off a bike between 5 to 10 years ago. But you know how it is. You got to keep them because you just never know. You might need them. Granted, I took them off because I probably got a couple flats.
Never know.
But I was moving some things around. I was switching some things around in the basement, and I was like, you know what? I got to throw away some of these tires. I have probably 20 to 30 old tires. And I took the hard emotional step, you guys, of throwing them away. I also threw away a broken wheel. I didn't want to. There was probably one part of that wheel I could have salvaged, just like a spoke nipple or something. Wow. But I got rid of it. No, this here's where the wheel part's really fun. I threw the tires away.
Definitely a mortgage payment or two you now have lost by throwing away these tires.
I know. Yeah. So I threw away the tires, and then we did some like house cleaning today and like cleaned up the kitchen and did a bunch of stuff. So there's a bunch of stuff in the trash, and so it was just the small, it was 20-inch wheel that was sitting next to the trash can. And we were coming home from the park this evening, and as we were, a scrapper truck was coming down the alley. So I got to hold the wheel up almost like I was at Paris-Roubaix. Like I was like wheel. And the guy came by and I like showed him the wheel and he just gave me an approving nod and I just chucked it up in the air and it went like 10, 15 feet up in the air and then just landed on the refrigerators in the back of his truck. He didn't even slow down. This was the most seamless scrapper wheel hand up. It was great. I must say, I think I'm ready to be that guy with the wheel at Roubaix. Yeah. You know?
It's probably,
yeah.
It feels,
probably telling his kids about it.
It feels good, little guy. It feels like you gave it a proper send off. You know what I mean? Like,
right? It didn't go to the trash.
You didn't do it dirty at the end of its days, but
no, it's going back where it belongs.
I think on behalf of Tim and all the listeners, little guy, we're here. We're here for you. We're here to support you through your times of need. You know, let us know, you know, if there's anything of your garbage piles that we can also help you throw away. Because we're desperately, desperately wanting to clean out your basement, all of us.
I mean,
little guy, can I, if I was to come to your house, can I see the ping pong table or is there stuff on top?
I'm sorry, Tim. The ping pong table is disassembled and in the garage in multiple pieces.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I had to move on from the ping pong table that was occupying 75% of my basement and never got played and just became.
Except when I came, and it was just like the best part about the ping pong table was having to fish the ping pong balls out of various cat
out of the litter boxes that were on the floor behind it. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I would play ping pong one or two times a year, but the cats do need to go to the bathroom every single day. So it was slightly more important to have the space available for litter boxes as opposed to just perfect ping pong room.
I'm very that's very happy that you
thanks guys
moved on from some tires.
It was tough.
How many tires do you have left in the basement?
You know, tubulars, I got the 6 I was gifted this last year plus 4, 5, 6. I probably got like 10 tubulars. Some of those may or may not hold air. And clinchers, I probably still got 10, 15 extra clinchers of various ages. Some of these were mountain bike tires that I know you picked off the free table at Q.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Which would have been minimum, 12? Well, 12, 14 years ago?
Yeah, I've been in Boston for over 10 years at this point. So, it's been a while.
So, those were tires that at that point had been in the Q warehouse long enough that they were like, this will never sell.
Nobody wants a tubular mountain bike tire.
Oh, I wish. but I did put my $5 mountain bike wheels on the Klein. And I put some sweet vintage rubber onto those wheels, and
era appropriate, yeah.
And it was good. It was good.
It's a pretty big moment for you, little guy. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah,
Spencer. Anything else in your neck of the woods before we sign off for the week?
No, the belt is rightfully in Tom's hands, so all is right in the world here.
Yes, the belt is with Tom's. And in my world, I have some BMX bikes to go ride, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I got to work on my manuals.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, make sure you email us at theslowridepodcast@gmail.com, where we love all of your emails. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at theslowridepod, and find us over at the Wide Angle Podium Network, so you can find out about the whole selection of shows in the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. And with that, this is Tim in Orlando.
It's Matt in Minneapolis.
And this is Spencer in a bunker in an undisclosed location, reminding you to always wave at all your fellow cyclists that you see out on the road.
The Slow Ride Podcast. Bikes, advice, and rumors straight from the source. TheSlowRidePodcast.com and on Twitter at TheSlowRidePod.
There's an elegance to bike racing. For all its technology and engineering, it's a simple question of physics. How do you move a body through space as quickly and efficiently as possible? When the rider and the machine work as one, it's almost as if the solid world has melted away, and all that remains is the spirit, the pure, raw, and unfiltered soul of sport. Life is measured in many units, miles, kilometers, kilos, and pounds. But we measure it one corner at a time. We've entered the golden age of crit racing, the most exciting spectator event in sport, where all of human drama plays out before us on our city streets. On this show, we bring you the news of the day and take you inside the personalities of the teams and riders and right up to the gates of the premier events in the world. Welcome to Criterium Nation.